this time of year, some people fast certain things, commonly red meat on Fridays. Jesus said that after his death, his disciples would fast, and he didn't limit it to a certain time of the year. Fasting on a regular basis can have a profound impact on your physical and spiritual life. Consider periodically fasting something and spending extra time praying and reading the Bible, and see the positive impacts on your life.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Last year, in the Dobbs decision, the U.S. Supreme Court sent the issue of the protection of innocent human life in the womb back to the states, and has given each state an opportunity to protect innocent human life. Now, really, ultimately, it would have been much better if the Supreme Court had restored the legal protection of innocent human life that we had prior to Roe versus Wade, at least in most of the states. In most of the states, abortion was actually illegal, except in rare circumstances. And really, if you go back to a few years prior to Roe, it would have been illegal in all states. The Supreme Court didn't do that, but did give the states the right to protect innocent human life. Since that time, some states have. In fact, some states had pre-existing laws that outlawed abortion that hadn't been changed. And such would be the case in the state of Florida, had quote-unquote pro-life legislators been encouraged by quote-unquote pro-life organizations to pass laws that allow abortion in certain circumstances. And these laws were meant to protect innocent human life, or at least reduce the number of abortions. But these laws specifically allowed abortion, something that the Bible prohibits, something that God's word prohibits. God's word says that we are not to devise evil by law. And any law that allows preborn children or children of any type at any stage of any gestation to be slaughtered, ripped limb from limb, or killed by chemicals is an unjust law, is evil. And we should never practice and allow evil by law. We should never legislate evil by law, and we should not promote legislation that allows the shedding of innocent blood. Yet that's what happened in the state of Florida. Some states actually passed laws that were called trigger laws, that they said in the event that the Supreme Court overturns Roe versus Wade, abortion shall be illegal in our state. Sadly, our state did not keep the original laws that prohibited abortion, and our state did not pass trigger laws. Our state has not since passed any law to protect innocent human life. In fact, our Republican legislature that says they're pro-life has done nothing to protect innocent human life. In fact, there isn't even a bill proposed to protect innocent human life. Our governor has not called for such a bill. It is now time that the citizens of the state of Florida rise up and demand that our government protect innocent human life, including in the womb. Yet what we see happening is that there is actually fear and trepidation, and there is an unwillingness to tackle this issue, and that feeling is not just shared by the governor and the legislature. That feeling is actually shared by some of the most prominent figures in the pro-life movement in the state of Florida, and some of the most pro-life, or some organizations that have the name as being pro-life and working to protect innocent human life are actually afraid that we will lose at the ballot box. And so rather than basing what they do based on what God says, which what does God say? We've talked about it, to rescue those unjustly sentenced to death, to establish justice, to uphold mercy, to deliver those who are unjustly sentenced to death. Rather than looking at what the Bible says, they are then instead looking to polls to determine what we should do or not do. Rubbish. We need to look at the Bible and obey God. And we need to have faith. Faith that God can do great things. You see, the Bible actually says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the whole idea that you can actually look at, and that we should look at what the polls tell us, what we believe would happen, or even what we believe what has happened in other states when pro-life measures have gone to the ballot, and use that as a determination for whether we should seek to protect every innocent human life or not through a constitutional amendment. That is really rubbish that we should do that. And it is the opposite of faith. It is actually being ruled by fear and cowardice. And we need to stand. We are at a time where the church and the state needs for Christians to stand up and to act in faith to work to protect every innocent human life, and to do so until every innocent human life is recognized and protected by love and by law. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, which is often called the faith chapter. It could also be really known as the Hall of Fame. Certainly when we think about baseball and football and basketball and other sports, there is often a Hall of Fame. It happens at the professional level, even at the collegiate level. Sometimes there's even individual schools might have a Hall of Fame. But this is the Hall of Faith. And really, this is the greatest honor to be in this mention. And really, the most, what we can do, if we can accomplish anything in the world, our number one goal should be to be people of faith, people that would be so bold, so powerful, so obedient to God, and so willing to take him at his word that we believe, in fact, the words of God, that with Christ we can do all things. We can accomplish all things through Christ who is within us. And let us turn our attention to Hebrews chapter 11, beginning of verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So really, just from this verse alone, we can see that this idea of looking at polling numbers to determine what we should do is a failed and a flawed policy, a flawed way of thinking. Faith actually looks and says, it doesn't matter what the circumstances say. It doesn't matter what the polls say. We are going to do what is right. Truth is on our side. We are going to proclaim that every innocent human life should be protected. We are going to rise up and work until we see that as reality in our state and in our nation as well. And really, God has called for us to work not only in our nation, but also for all the nations of the earth. And wouldn't it be great, as America has exported abortion? What am I talking about? Well, the U.S. government has required other nations that receive aid from us to actually offer abortion to their citizens as a measure, as a condition of receiving aid to America. And even as America has exported abortion, there needs to be a time, and there will be a time in the future, hopefully, where America will export life and the protection of innocent human life. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we need to look not at the circumstances, not at what is happening in our country, not at where we believe the polling numbers are, but we need to look with faith and realize that God can do great and mighty things. And we will see here in this chapter, we will see many people who actually did that, who took God at his word, who actually looked not at the circumstances, but looked and did what God had called them to do. And I want to just bring your attention to the fact that William Wilberforce did not wait until the culture was ready to protect slaves and free slaves and stop the slave trade until he started working for abolition. He actually started working for abolition, and I believe, and I'll get the numbers right and correct myself next week if I'm wrong, but I know that he did so for a very long time, and I believe it was 18 or 19 years that he actually presented his bill to abolish the slave trade before that passed. And then it was a number of years after that before slaves were given emancipation, and then even longer after that before all slaves were free. In fact, he was dead before all slaves were free. Certainly, if he had waited until the polling numbers were right and where people were ready to protect slavery, he probably would have died without even working toward that purpose. But he looked and he said, faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. So the elders, that actually those people of old that actually had faith and did what God called them to do, rather than looking at the circumstances, obtained a good testimony by faith. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things which are invisible. And certainly, scientists and even Charles Darwin talked about this, and you've probably heard about the Big Bang. Something, in fact, everything coming from nothing, which is impossible unless there is a God who exists that can do the impossible. And we serve such a God that actually spoke the word and the worlds came into being. That the creation, the world, came from things which were not, as God spoke the word. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. And we know that Abel was killed by Cain because God accepted Abel's offering and not Cain's offering. In verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him from before. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So Enoch, we know the story of Enoch. He was walking with God and then he wasn't. God just took him and took him to be with him. And certainly I've heard many people longing and speaking fondly of that and longing for that time when they would be with God. But he had this faith and he had this testimony that that he had been with God, and that he had this testimony that he pleased God. In verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we see that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Enoch pleased God, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. And those who are looking at the polling numbers are certainly not operating in faith. They're not operating with a belief that we have a God that can move the hearts of men and women in our state to protect every innocent human life. They believe that we need to wait until the culture is ready. God calls us to stand up and to proclaim to the culture what is right. He calls us to speak the truth and to call the culture to conform to his truth, as opposed to just looking and just getting away with, or just doing the least amount possible. God wants us to be men and women of faith. In verse 7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is according to faith. So think about this. Noah, at a time where it had never rained, was building a boat. The people, I'm sure, ridiculed him and laughed at him and made fun of him. But he had faith that God had called him to do this. And that, just imagine if he had looked at the circumstances and thought, well, that's ridiculous. It's never rained. I don't even know what rain is. They probably hadn't even invented the word rain. But yet he believed God. He had faith and he took preparation. And because of that, Noah was actually a major part. In fact, we not only all descend from Adam, but we all descend from Noah as well. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So we see that Abraham, by faith, left his homeland and actually dwelt as a foreigner in a foreign country, and didn't have a house, didn't have a home, didn't have a city. He actually was living in tents and moving around in tents because he had faith that God was going to give him and his inheritance that area. And in fact, he didn't even at the time have any children. Yet God said, I'm going to make your descendants as the sand of the sea and as the stars of the heaven. If you can count the sand of the seashore, you'll be able to count your descendants. If you can count the stars, you'll be able to count your descendants. And in verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. So Sarah and Abraham both had faith. And you know, Sarah initially laughed and said, how can I, being old, give birth to a child? Yet at some point she had faith and believed the word of God, and Abraham had faith, and because of their faith they did have a child, and they actually, out of that child came all the descendants of the nation of Israel, more than the sand of the sea and more than the stars of the heavens. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And this you could think about, definitely, even Wilberforce, who saw that there would be a time when all the slaves would be free. He didn't live to see that day when they were all free, but he had faith that it would happen. He saw it far off. And those who, you know, even Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, they didn't see the Israelites living and dwelling in the promised land to the extent that happened after God led the children of Israel out of slavery. But they saw it afar off by faith, believing that it would happen. And verse 15, and truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had came out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has, they desired a city for them. So here you see they could have gone back. Abraham could have gone back to his own country and lived a comfortable life. But no, he obeyed God. He had faith, even though he didn't see the promised land. He lived in the promised land, but as a stranger, he didn't see his descendants as multitude, being as a multitude like the sand on the seashore. But he did actually, he was able to have faith. And he saw that by faith. In verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of which it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whom he also received him in a figurative sense. So you remember that story where Abraham offered Isaac on the altar, and the angel stopped him before he sacrificed. But Abraham had faith that God was able to raise him from the dead. You may recall from that story, Abraham said, we are going up and we will come back. He had faith that he was coming back with his son, even though he knew that God had called him to sacrifice his son. And going on here, by faith in verse 20, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instruction concerning his bones. So all of these who didn't possess the promise, who didn't see the result, the end result, and the fulfillment of what was promised, had faith that it was going to happen even after their death. And going on here, in verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith Moses, when he was of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he be destroyed, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. And so you see, Moses, his parents were not afraid of the king's command, even though it might have meant they would be arrested and put into jail. Moses himself could have stayed in Pharaoh's house and enjoyed the passing pleasures of sin. Yet he forsook that because he had faith that God had called him to let the people, the children of Israel, free. Even though the children of Israel didn't believe it and didn't see it and didn't believe that it was going to happen. And even when he was starting to proclaim and to call for Pharaoh to let the people go, you know what happened. Pharaoh made their task harder, and the people murmured and complained and groaned and grumbled and even complained against Moses. Why are you doing this? Just leave us as slaves. We want to stay as slaves. But Moses had faith, and he didn't fear Pharaoh, who could have actually put him to death, but he had faith that God was able to deliver the children of Israel and to do great and mighty things, and things that really God had promised to do. And these all had faith, even though they didn't all see the promises of God. They had faith. And today, we need to not look at the polls. We need to look at what God has called us to do and to have faith that God is able to move through us to work toward the day and to actually see the day when every innocent human life would be protected in the state of Florida, in this nation, and where we would even work in the nations across this world to protect and restore the protection of every innocent human life. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
This time of year, some people fast certain things, commonly red meat on Fridays. Jesus said that after his death, his disciples would fast, and he didn't limit it to a certain time of the year. Fasting on a regular basis can have a profound impact on your physical and spiritual life. Consider periodically fasting something and spending extra time praying and reading the Bible, and see the positive impacts on your life.
How I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets, to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more, standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And every prayer we prayed in desperation, the songs of